Welcome to the Growing in Grace podcast, where you can listen in on some casual conversation about the good news of Jesus without all of the inconsistent religious double talk. If you've ever struggled with feelings of hopelessness, guilt, and despair, or wondered if you're really right with God, it's time to discover the true freedom that comes with the gospel of unlimited and overflowing grace.
Well, ho, 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 Merry Christmas. I don't know why I did that voice. Let's start again.
Pretty funny. Well, I don't use that voice more often.
What was I trying to do? Ho, ho, ho.
I like it better than your regular voice. I think you should.
We'll do the whole podcast like this then.
It's kind of like Edith Bunker. Remember All in the Family?
The voice she used in the show was not her real voice.
Right. And I know we did a Big Bang Theory reference lately, but what's her name?
The blonde Bernadette.
Bernadette. That was not her real voice either. And then, so she ended up being on the new Night Court, and you see more of her normal voice on that.
When I was a young teenager and my voice started changing, I don't know why this popped into my head, but we'll make something spiritual out of it, I promise, for you traditionalists out there. But my voice started changing, and it was a pretty dramatic change, Joel, pretty fast. I had a couple squeaks, like Peter from the Brady Bunch, but I didn't do a lot of squeaking. And then I went like from Tiny Tim to James Earl Jones in like a day.
Okay.
And my mom, I'm talking to my mom, and she says, "Stop talking like that." She thought I was like being Edith Bunker and trying to do it on purpose, you know. I think sometimes we Christians are that way. Whenever there's a change that wants to evolve our thinking, maybe more toward a better knowledge of the truth, we sometimes, I think, resist it because we have a hard time letting go of our traditional thinking.
Well, you know, I got another one to go along with that then. same thing with the changes. In this case, I started growing mustache hair, and my mom thought that my upper lip was just always dirty. Because my mustache, you know, it took a few years before it would actually be fully formed, but she thought I needed to wash my face. And so this thing is, when you and I have had these changes in our thinking, it looks kind of filthy to other people. They're like, they don't know what they're talking about. They're going off script. They're changing things in a way. They're changing the Bible, or they're trying to make the Bible out to be saying something else than it is, and it looks dirty to them. It looks wrong. It's a change in the voice that they don't like. but it's the same, I know, for many people, like when they come into grace, when they've been in legalism and people accuse them of greasy grace, and you're just going out and teaching people to sin, and that's all that you want. You just want to sin, and so that's why you're glomming onto this grace stuff, and it looks wrong to other people, but it's actually the gospel. It's actually the truth. And that's what we're trying to, it's what we've been doing all these years on the podcast, is talking about what we understand as the truth of the gospel. And we have to, by necessity, be bold. And it's a spirit thing for sure. There's no way I could have ever done this, whether it's this podcast or whether it's sharing grace boldly with people, when I know that they're going to be in opposition to it. In and of myself, I can admit it. You know, I'm a pretty, in a sense, I don't know if timid is the right word, but and shy. It's not that I'm shy, but you know, it takes something extra to be bold in the face of opposition. And to me, I just know that it's the Holy Spirit in me, because I couldn't do this by myself.
Mm-hmm. That's right. And to be able to recognize that is a good thing.
Yeah.
You know, it actually is a humbling thing, not the other way around, like what somebody might think.
Right.
But I wonder too sometimes how the culture over the years sometimes changes. We don't always recognize it because we're really not here that long, but gradually sometimes things change. Like, for example, when I was a kid, we had a teacher who the mustache thing was growing a mustache, and it got so big and bushy, I think the hierarchy asked them to shave it because they didn't like the looks of it. No. And I really liked her as a teacher, but anyway.
I knew that was coming. I know you too well.
Here you were trying to get serious and spiritual. So Christmas, I wonder over the many hundreds and now thousands of years, how people celebrate that differently, you know, from one country to the next, from one time frame to the next. We know a lot of the things that we know here in our culture that are related to Christmas. Maybe some of it doesn't have much to do with Jesus. Some of it does. But I wonder how much of that has changed. And I wonder how many of us, even as believers in Christ, or you know, people who attend church regularly or proclaim faith in God in some way, I wonder how many have really stopped to think about what it is that we're recognizing or celebrating when it comes to Christmas and the birth of Jesus. I mean, what does that mean to your average mindset out there, I wonder, as people get ready to get together? Because, I mean, one big thing around the Christmas celebration for many people, and I realize many people are also alone on Christmas, and it's kind of a sad time. But for those who have families and so forth, they get together. That's a big part of the cultural thing related to Christmas. Sometimes it's just a family gathering, time to eat, maybe open presents or different things. I wonder, though, how many people really stop to think about what this all means. What is it we're celebrating? Now, for somebody out there who doesn't claim to believe in Jesus, maybe they're atheistic or whatever, that's one thing. They can still latch on to many Christmas-related things and be a part of that. But I wonder how your average person out there, believer or not, relates to the story, the Christmas story, the birth of Jesus as a baby, God coming into the world like the rest of us did. It's a little mind-boggling. It can be overwhelming to try and relate to it. If you're just doing it academically or theologically or mentally, emotionally, there's something deeper here that I think people can latch onto in spite of the mystery of it all.
Right. You know, it's I think a lot of people don't really necessarily think the whole thing through. It's a nice story, this baby born and laid in a manger and wrapped in swaddling clothes. And as we know, it was maybe a couple years later that some wise men came, or, you know, it wasn't like right away.
And the cows were lowing.
Oh, the cows.
Whatever that means.
And people were driving by and look and say, hey, look, cows. the cows were lowing, and, oh, man, I had something with that. I can't think of it now. So we'll just skip that. But anyway, it was a... You know, like I'm known for, it would have been a very cheesy joke. But there is definitely more to this. And thinking about this brought to mind Galatians 4. When the fullness of time had come, God sent forth. Now, there is a lot of context. We've talked a lot about Galatians on this podcast. We've talked a lot about it. So this is just in reference to what we're talking about today. When the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under the law. And I like that he didn't just say that Jesus was under the law, but he was born of a woman and born under the law. It gives us the understanding that he came as a baby. He came as one of us to redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons. So this birth wasn't just this nice, wonderful story. Oh, this baby Jesus. But he was born of a woman, born under the law. And the purpose of that was to redeem those who were under the law. So Jesus would become a toddler. He would become a teenager and his voice would probably crack, and his mom would ask him why he's talking like Edith Bunker. And so he came to redeem, he grew into a man fulfilling the law, and he redeemed, through doing that, he redeemed those who were under the law. And the reason for that was so that we might receive the adoption as sons. So you see, there's a whole lot more to this Christmas thing than just simply this nice little story of the baby Jesus. Baby Jesus grew up, but he had to be one of us. He had to become a man. He had to become a baby and become a teenager and become a man in order that he could redeem those who were under the law so that we could receive the adoption as sons. So if this wouldn't have happened, we would not be able to be called sons of the living God. And Paul goes on here, because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying out, Abba, Father. Therefore, you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. So that's what came out of what we call Christmas, out of the birth of Jesus. The people of Israel being redeemed, we receive the adoption of sons. We're no longer slaves, but sons and heirs of God through Christ.
And in relation to what you were just saying, I mean, Jesus was born under the law. We see in Luke 2, when the days of their purification, according to the law of Moses, were completed, they brought him up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. And so Jesus, you know, it took 8 days. You know, he was nameless for 8 days, because on the eighth day, the Jewish males under the law, they were circumcised, and then they were named. Mm-hmm. And there was a sacrifice, a pair of turtle doves and two young pigeons, offering that sacrifice according to the law that came through Moses. And so Jesus was born under that law to redeem and free the people, the Jewish people, who were under that law. Those of us who are non-Jewish, Gentiles, as the scriptures call us, I mean, we never had that law. But he came first to set the Jewish people free from that ministry of bondage and death that could not bring the life that they were seeking. It could not bring the righteousness that they were trying to pursue through what they did. Couldn't do it. And so, of course, after the death and resurrection of Jesus, that wall, that law, that barrier that had kept Jews and Gentiles apart was torn down. And now both Jew and Gentile would be allowed to come into Christ and eternal life through faith. That's kind of the discouraging part, but there's a story being told here, but there's a discouraging part where the separation between Jew and Gentile while the law was in place, some still thought that that was going on after the resurrection. That's why some would say, you go to the Gentiles, that's fine if you feel called to do that. We're going to stay here and minister to the Jews. Because why? Because they still thought there was this separation, because they thought the law was still in place for Jewish people, even if they came to believe in Christ. And so there was this confusion that was going on. But there's something big to celebrate here. And it starts with the birth of Jesus, but it doesn't end there. There's so much for us to gain from this story. But ultimately, it's God loved the world. And in this new covenant, he doesn't just give grace to the humble. He gives grace to anyone, to the ungodly, to those who don't work, to those who are in need. God's love for the world knows no boundaries, and it was demonstrated through Christ. And it started with the birth, but it didn't end there.
Right. It was the birth that made everything else possible, because as you read the story, not just in Luke, but Luke has so much to say. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. That was an angel of the Lord stood before the shepherds who were watching their flock by night. And so it's not just a story. We read it in our Bibles as a story sometimes, but it's not just a story. But the reality that is born to you this day in the city of David, a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. He is Savior. And that's something that sometimes just flies by us, I guess, and we don't really comprehend all that's being said there. And again, he became a toddler, became a teenager, became an adult, and fulfilled the law. And then he died and was resurrected. A lot of times we talk about the resurrection at Easter time, but if it wasn't for the birth of Jesus as a man, then he couldn't have died as a man and then have been resurrected. And 1 Corinthians 15, that whole chapter, I won't read all of it here, but it's really talking about if Christ has not risen from the dead, then our faith is in vain. So the birth led to the fulfillment of the scriptures, the fulfillment of the law and the prophets and the Psalms, and it led to Christ being crucified and buried, and then he rose again the third day. And through that resurrection, we can be risen together with him. Not only have we died with him, but we rose together. And I like Paul says in 1 Corinthians 15:17, and if Christ is not risen, your faith is futile and you are still in your sins. A lot of people read what Paul says about faith being futile here, and they worry that their faith is futile, that they've put faith because they don't have work to show for it, because they've got some sin in their lives, or because of this or that. They wondered their faith is futile. But the only reason a person's faith would be futile is if Christ had not been raised from the dead. Then you would still be in your sins. If Christ is not risen, your faith is futile. You are still in your sins. So what happened through Christ and his birth as a human being and his resurrection led to the possibility for us, made it possible for us to not be in our sins anymore. So we don't have to worry about that, because we're not in our sins anymore. That's the point I'm trying to make here, because of the resurrection of Christ. So it all adds up together in one great big picture that we can see. It was very important that Christ be born in, as a baby, as one of us, and live his life as a human.
And to add to what you just said there, if indeed Jesus is a Savior, then he's a Savior.
Yes.
And
right.
There is nothing that we can add to it. Now, if there's something that we need to add to it to get to where we want to be in him for eternity, then Jesus maybe has been misidentified as a Savior. But he hasn't been misidentified. He is a Savior. There is nothing that you and I can add to it. He does the saving. And that's important for us to understand, because in him, in him is where we belong. See, if you're going to put faith in yourself, that's not really faith at all. You're going to fall short every time. But the Savior, the one who saves, I mean, that I think, like you said, Joel, I think sometimes we kind of skim over that just a little bit. And so he has not been misidentified as a Savior. And because we're in him, he is holy and righteous. And because we're in him, we're also, or at least we shouldn't be misidentified, we also have received this gift of righteousness, holiness, and perfection in him. It's all part of the message.
This has been Growing in Grace with Mike Kapler and Joel Brzezicki, heard online through various internet sources around the world each week. Access past programs by visiting growingingrace.org. Share it with a friend and listen again next week for more Growing in Grace.